So welcome this session. We're going to be talking about business apps inside SharePoint. We're going to talk a bit about what's happening with InfoPath, a little bit about Microsoft Forms, and also, in particular, what we're doing with Power Apps and Flow to help empower the next generation of business apps. And before we clear our throats and tell you all about our wonderful selves, I think it's probably better if we get right to the demo. What do you think? Let's show you something.
Yeah, let's start with the demo. How many of you had a chance to view the theater session we had this morning at 11? Many of you. So this will be a bit of a repeat, but then we will go into more details of that demo and look at how we've built that app. So let's start with this demo, and it will really ground us in what we're going to be talking about. So what you're about to see is a business application that is built around a SharePoint list, Microsoft Power Apps, and Microsoft Flow. And it's just a demonstration of what you can be doing with these three tools together combined without writing any code as a business user. Then we will go ahead and talk a little bit about how it all fits together, all these solutions. And then, more importantly, I will be trying to build this, that very app that I'm going to be demoing right now on stage here. May the demo gods have mercy on my... Anyway, all right, so let's set this up. You've had a great week here at Ignite. You go back home, you have all these ideas that you got from other people or these sessions. You put them to work. You implement some amazing changes for your organization. Everybody's happy. Your boss is like, fantastic. This is like great. Productivity is through the roof. And says to you, great job. You should, take a vacation. And, you're back home, thinking about, a vacation would be nice. I think I deserve it. You're surrounded with your loved ones. You're on the couch at home. You talk about this vacation idea. You talk about schedules, where to go. And, you figure it out. Now it's time to make that vacation official by entering a HR vacation request. So you're thinking to yourself, tomorrow I'm going to go into work. I'm going to boot up my computer. It's going to be on the CorpNet. I'm going to sign into my HR portal, fill out the form, push submit, and then, I'll be on my way. But then you think, wait a minute. Didn't I see a mail from HR telling me that there's now an app and it's available on my phone that I can use to request a vacation from wherever I am? There sure is. So I'm looking at my app on my phone, request vacation app. I launch it. It launches through the Power Apps app. So all I had to have here was the Power Apps client installed, and the app is launching. So immediately I see my company logo. The app has my company colors, so it's familiar to me. The company logo is there, a nice friendly picture of a vacation, inspiring picture is available for me. There's a big new vacation request button, very to the point. And I can also see my past requests. I can see the vacation requests I have made previously. They're sorted by my start dates. I see that I have conditional formatting of the vacation requests, so I can see which ones are approved by my manager, which ones are pending approval, and which ones have been rejected. What's more, if I go into one of these vacation requests, so let's look at this gone through end of November vacation. I click on the details, and I see the details, and I have two helpful buttons up there, one for deleting and one for changing the details of that vacation. But if I go back and click on one of those items that my manager already approved, I don't see those buttons anymore because my app has been customized so that I don't necessarily need to, I don't have the permissions to go in and edit those items. And then I click on New Vacation Request to make this official. So I have my title. This is basically a form that's backed by a SharePoint list, but as a user, I don't need to know that. It's just my vacation request form. Some information popped in at the bottom of that. That shows me how many days of vacation I have left. And that actually came from another HR system, which we will go into the details of. But it's just an app that's showing me different pieces of information from relevant parts of my company. Let's say this is our Ignite demo vacation. And let's pick a date. Fat fingers. Let's go away 17th of October. I think that's a good date. And through 21st. And just a simple note. I deserve it.
Yes, you do.
Let's hit submit. And we're back in our list. And the list has been updated with my Ignite demo that is pending approval. So just like that, I was sitting on my couch. I launched the app. I've submitted my vacation request using my customized vacation request form. Of course, this was my end of the deal. And then, of course, there's my manager's end of the vacation request, right? So somebody needs to say, yes, Chris, in this case, can go on vacation. And to see what that's like, let's switch over to
what is
the manager's.
Vacation like? I'm really been wondering that myself.
All right, could I have number 7, please?
Sure.
All right. So you can see that this is Tony East, the gentleman who happens to be Chris's manager. And here he is looking at his inbox, waiting for a vacation request to arrive. Oh, look at that. It just popped in.
Tony is a very busy manager, apparently.
Trust me, I was worried there for a second. I was expecting that to be already there. It's just
by the way, apparently Tony's only job is approving my vacation request.
That's Hey, like many other managers that I know. Oh, is my manager in the room? I hope not. All right. So you can see that there's a customized email that's coming into Tony's inbox. It says, please approve Chris McNulty vacation request, and then, you know, some details of what I have put in. Chris has been a great guy, so let's approve that vacation request. And that approval just went through, and you're on your way to your vacation. That's it. What do you think? Looks like a business app. All right. So let's summarize what we actually saw there. So what we saw was a Power App running on the phone. It was reading data from a SharePoint list and the custom data source, those number of days of vacation that I have left. Those were the two sources that we were using. And then when I submitted a new vacation request, it went and updated that data, added a new record to that SharePoint list. And then I had a flow, which I will show you, you know, when we're building it, that was watching that list, that SharePoint list, for changes. And when it noticed that a new request had been added, it went and found the person's manager who had submitted the request, sent them an approval mail, and then waited for input from that approval. When the approval eventually came, Flow took that approval and then executed it by writing and updating that item on that SharePoint list. So in a nutshell, this is basically the moving pieces of that business application.
So now that we've shown you the demo, just a little bit of introduction. So my name is Chris McNulty. For about a year, I've been a senior product manager at Microsoft. I like to say I'm a recovering MVP. And it's great to be able to be here with you. Alongside me, I'll let Karem introduce himself.
And my name is Karem Ujaturk. I'm a program manager with the SharePoint product team. I'm very happy to be giving this talk with Mr. McNulty.
So we have a lot of ground to cover today. Our goals today are to help you envision the kinds of business scenarios that are possible in SharePoint, in Office 365, using the tooling we have available today and tomorrow, and along with giving you a preview of some of the things that are just around the corner. There are a number of sessions going on throughout the week. Obviously, you've taken our recommendation and prior things to come here, so congratulate yourselves in being the smartest people at Ignite. There's a number of other sessions throughout the week, and I'd encourage you, if you didn't already attend them, we're in the second half of the week, to look at the online recordings. In particular, I am gonna briefly plug my own session tomorrow morning on doing hybrid business intelligence. So we're gonna start with Power Apps and Flow tomorrow morning, and then show you how to weave them together into a visualization and reporting experience. It was you.
Is it?
Yes.
So So let's talk about the agenda, what we're going to talk about. You can see the cool PowerPoint feature there that I'm not very familiar with that Chris just added. So we're going to talk a little bit about the landscape of business apps. Of course, we just showed you Power Apps and Flow, but we'll also talk about InfoPath, SharePoint Designer workflows, as well as this other offering that from Microsoft called Microsoft Forms, and understand, you know, where all of those things fit in the picture. Then we will actually talk a little bit about the SharePoint integration with Power Apps and Flow and get into the details of that. And then that's where I will hopefully do my demo of creating that Power App that you just saw live on stage, and everything will go swimmingly. And then we'll kind of close up with looking forward, like what you may expect from us in the coming months and in 2017.
Excellent. So I think it's important to start by taking a look at Microsoft's core ambitions, as our CEO, Satya Nadella, has articulated, around more personal computing and intelligent cloud. What we are doing in Office 365 is very much toward that ambition of reinventing productivity in business processes. And when we talk about in digital transformation about what it means for what's the Office mission here, we talk an awful lot about productivity, what we can do in SharePoint about making teams more efficient and more effective. I think it's important that we not cut that line off and talk about business processes, because what distinguishes a great team site and makes it such an effective collaboration vehicle isn't just being able to combine great content and collaboration on them, but being able to bring in data and process to actually match the way that your team works. When we look at the landscape of the tooling that's out there today, InfoPath and SharePoint Designer, we're going to talk a little bit about what the roadmap has been and where they're headed. They have been in the center of SharePoint for over 10 years right now. We did not issue a new version this year as part of Office 2016, but we treated the SharePoint release as a reason to extend support for another 3 years, taking us up to 2026. Microsoft Forms is a new offering. We want to talk about that so you understand what it is and what it's not. But really, the bulk of what we're going to be talking about today is what we are doing with Power Apps and Microsoft Flow to extend and enhance what we're able to do inside of SharePoint today. Fancy, fancy, fancy. Okay, InfoPath. So as I mentioned, when we released SharePoint Server 2016 this year, we extended the support for InfoPath and SharePoint Designer, although we did not issue new versions. We're treating the support model as if they had been. So InfoPath 2013 continues to be supported until 2026, 5 years of standard and 5 years of extended support. That support extends to running InfoPath form services on premises, and we are continuing to support InfoPath form services running in the cloud. InfoPath does many, many, many things, and not all of them are in Power Apps just yet, and some of them, frankly, might not ever get there. We recommend that if you are doing content management scenarios, things that are tied to structured XML documents, you are going to have continued support for those scenarios inside InfoPath today. One of the reasons why we made the decision to extend support is because we know that changing business processes is hard and complex. Once they're done well, they become embedded kind of in the lifeblood of your organization and in your sites, and changing them and transforming them takes a long runway. So we want to give sufficient time for people to understand what the tools are before they move to the next thing. One of the things that we're actually going to talk a little bit about in our change management session tomorrow is understanding that when we talk about ending investment in an older technology, one of the messages that Microsoft has learned, we hope, is it's very important to not just do that in a vacuum, but to offer you an alternative and a vision for where this is going in the future. So Power Apps today, we're very happy to say, is the successor for that classic InfoPath custom form on top of a SharePoint list scenario.
So as Chris was saying, we think new scenarios today should use Power Apps, should begin with Power Apps, and leverage all those great capabilities that Power Apps brings to the table. So you can create mobile-first forms. You can use device capabilities like digital ink. You can use the camera. You can use the coordinates of your device by leveraging the GPS. You can also make connections to multiple data sources in addition to SharePoint data in a very easy manner. You can even implement and leverage some custom code solutions that that can use any REST API-enabled service, including Azure Functions. And as SharePoint, as part of the SharePoint team, I want to state that we are committed to making SharePoint a first-class citizen, a first-class data source for Power Apps. We're going to be, not all the data types are represented accurately at this moment, but we keep adding and working on the support for bringing things like attachments, pictures stored inside SharePoint, and other SharePoint data types so that they're represented accurately as a first-class data source in Power Apps. We will even enable embedding of Power Apps in SharePoint pages and use it as a form solution later next year for an even closer integration between Power Apps and SharePoint. And the word about SharePoint Designer and workflows. Just like InfoPath, SharePoint Designer 2013, we did not release a new version of that, but the support has been extended through 2026 for extended support. We see Flow, Microsoft Flow, as the successor to SharePoint Designer workflows for basic automation needs. And the developer story of that is the Logic App side. So if you are building flows and you want to take it to the next level and develop some custom code running inside flows, then Logic Apps is the developer solution for that. So we're, again, recommending, just like Power Apps, that new workflows being created should use Flow and use this rich library of connectors. And our support for supporting SharePoint types will accrue to Flow as well as Power Apps. All right. With that, let's talk a little bit about Microsoft Forms.
So Microsoft Forms is a product that was released earlier this year into the education market. And one of the things I want to make it very clear about is the name can cause a little bit of confusion about what it's intended for. Because we've gotten a lot of questions back from the field and from customers about, so there's a new thing called Microsoft Forms. That's the new InfoPath, right? We want to make very clear what it is. Microsoft Forms is, A, it is for the education market. And it is aimed at forms and quizzes. It's designed to let you be able to quickly set up a quiz, set up an answer key, or collect survey data for a classroom market that you can deliver to named users or to anonymous users. Once it's created, that information can go out. People can consume it on mobile, or they can consume it on web. And as they fill it out, all that data is stored in a data service real time that's exposed to you in an Excel spreadsheet, so you can look at results in real time and be able to download them for further analysis in the desktop. So it's really been aimed at being able to let it. There is not really a form designer. You tell Microsoft Forms what information, what are the questions that you want to ask? You know, who is your prediction on who's going to win the World Series this year? You give it several choices, and it figures out how to lay out the questions and answers on screen for you. It's designed to be equally friendly on mobile, and again, all that information can be brought down through the report interface into Excel for further analysis. What I want to distinguish about it is, again, it is education market only. Two, it is not directly tied into SharePoint. And by that I mean, if you're in the education market and you have Microsoft Forms available to you, you can generate an embed code and then embed that Forms experience on a page. That's really the only tie between what's happening in Forms and what's happening in SharePoint. So it's not really intended to be a business productivity tool. If you're trying to capture data from field operations and do many of the rich structured scenarios that people have used InfoPath for and will be using Power Apps for, that's not what this is. Microsoft Forms is a wonderful, fun tool for the education market, but it's not typically where we're seeing business productivity getting brought forward. Where we do see business productivity coming forward is Power Apps and Flow. So with that said, sir.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about, in more detail, about what Microsoft Power Apps does. So this is a service for creating and using your custom business apps across platforms. It lets you connect to your existing systems and data sources. You can build your apps and forms. You can trigger workflows from it. and you publish your apps that can be consumed on your devices as well as in a browser on the web. So the center of it is the studio and the experience of building an app in a way that's very easy for a business user. We really emphasize the part about creating apps without writing any code. You can craft all these screens in a visual designer that runs actually in the browser as well as on a client that's available for Windows at the moment. It will help you see exactly what you get. Actually, when you're creating an app, it's actually running the app that you're creating so that you see live data in it, which we will see in a second. Then using this studio, then you can hook up into the device capabilities like cameras, GPS, and then when that app is running, it will ask for permission to use those device resources, just like you've seen other apps on your phone do. You can also use business logic into your apps. So it's not just drag and drop interfaces. If you can write an if statement in Excel, then you can write some logic statements that apply to the controls that you see on this Power Apps canvas so that you can do all those things like writing those conditional formatting statements and making buttons appear and disappear based on the value of the data that you're looking at. Then the consumption side. So we really want to emphasize that this works on your browser, so you don't really need to install the app. But of course, the experience becomes richer. The access to those device capabilities becomes more possible when you're running on the native device, running on the app itself. But the integration with SharePoint also relies a lot heavily on the web integration and the web designer as well as the web runtime. So let's talk a little bit about how it works. So at the bottom layer here in this diagram, you have your data, and this can be a range of data sources. Of course, SharePoint is the one that I love personally, and I know many of you are interested in, but you can also connect to many different data sources, including any REST-enabled data sources, through what we call connectors, which is the next layer up. So anything that you can build a connector for, including your custom data apps, and through the on-premises gateway, which we will talk a little bit about, your data living on-premises SharePoint 2013 or 2016 instances, it becomes accessible to your Power Apps. Then you create the app in the studio and upload it and save it in the Power Apps cloud. And then you permission it so that people in your organization signed into Office 365 can easily consume these apps and use the permissioning model that you yourself have defined. And then you use it on your on the browser or on your device.
So building a business app obviously takes a great interface and being able to extend it into mobile, as Karim just walked us through, but it also requires process and automation. Microsoft Flow represents that future for us. So it is a tool to allow users to create automation. What are some of the easy examples of automation? Well, being able to get notification when something's happened, being able to move files from one place to another, being able to trigger when, for example, an opportunity has been marked as won in a customer-facing Salesforce system, being able to pick it up and bring that information into Office, or being able to, as Karim walked us through before, build automation around an approval process for documents or requests. So the great news about Flow is it comes with the ability to connect out to dozens of business systems in use today, including consumer services, things like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the usual suspects you would expect from Microsoft, SQL, Exchange, and obviously SharePoint and OneDrive, both on-premises and cloud, and also the ability to connect out to some of our partners building line of business cloud or on-premises systems, things like Salesforce, for example, being able to bring that data to participate in these business processes. All of these connectors make it very easy for you to interact with data regardless of where it was. And it's important to think about this as opening new doors. If you have been a SharePoint person for most of your career, as I have, this gives you the ability to address parts of your business scenarios that may have been outside of your easy comfort level. and vice versa. If you're coming into this market from outside of this, if you're a Salesforce developer, this gives you an opportunity to get an easy integration into the Office suite. Which one? That's
a custom source, yes. I think. Yeah. So any custom APIs that you may have, if you write a connector for it, then you can expose it.
So we'll actually, when we'll put up the current list of connectors on screen when we get to demo here momentarily. One quick question, yes? So the question was, is it available in a hybrid configuration? Yes, and we have a section coming up on that later, and I'll walk through it all there. Flow today, when you build flows, it's a no-code solution, but you don't even have to start with a blank designer. We ship with dozens of templates available for the most common scenarios, with more coming into the service every week. So when you set up a new flow, you can start by saying, I know that I want to create an alert when a SharePoint list item has been changed. Or if something's happened in Dynamics CRM, I want to use it to send an alert to my Office 365 group that participates here in the site. These and more are all available to you with the pre-built flows, and you can browse what's out there right now at flow.microsoft.com. And if you don't want to use one of those, the designer surface, again, is a no-code environment. The example here is being able to look for a file being added to Dropbox and send an email alert through Exchange. Everything that I do, I'm able to step in and drag a block up saying, here's what I'm working for. The parameters from one object can be passed on to the next. You don't need to deal with variables. You can set up conditions and actions and branch off if something is true and a different way if something isn't true, et cetera, et cetera. So the bottom line message for us is when in the SharePoint team, when we look at Power Apps and Flow, we absolutely love these capabilities. We think they're bringing something that's been missing to our core SharePoint community developers and millions of other users on SharePoint today that we haven't been able to bring to you yet. We've talked about a lot of solutions over the years. This is the one that we're going to ride forward. It's a big bet for us. We hope that you're excited about it the same way that we are.
Right. So I want to underline that statement. Like, I think it's important and worth saying twice. We are making this commitment because a number of people during this week, a number of people during this week actually came up to me and asked, hey, is this really it? Like, is this for real? Like, are you guys really putting your effort, development efforts, behind Power Apps and Flow? And the answer is yes. So this is what we're committing to. SharePoint team owns the SharePoint connector for Flow and Power Apps, and we are committed to making it better, making it accurately represent all the data that you have inside SharePoint so you can use it in a rich way in Power Apps and Flow and Logic Apps going forward for business, building your business solutions.
I just want to put that back up on the screen one more time. Hopefully it's not going to auto-advance as it has been. Let's hold that until we get into demo so you can see.
I think you'll see exactly where it lies. And we'll All right. Cool. Is it any different then?
Let's take a look.
I think you will see the differences in a second. So let's take a look. We have started the integration of Power Apps and Flow into Modern List. So Modern List is a feature that we have started rolling out. If you are in SharePoint Online and if you're a first release customer, you already have it. If you are not a first release customer, then some of you may have it. It's out to about 10% of the population. But through the month of October, we will be completing that rollout. So all of your custom lists start to render with the Modern List integration. And you have seen all the advantages of Modern Lists in other sessions, so I'm not going to repeat them here, such as the grouping advantages and the modern, fast, and responsive UI. But the two things that I want to emphasize are you're able to connect to, we have made it very, very easy to add external content and logic to lists by a one-click integration point with Microsoft Flow, which I will demo in a second. And more important, also as importantly, we allowed for accessing the SharePoint content using Power Apps. So it is very, very easy to go from a SharePoint list and jump into a Power App that you have created, which I will show you in a second. This is merely the beginning of the integration. Going forward, we will be adding and weaving these capabilities of Flow and Power Apps integration into SharePoint in different locations. So watch for that in our future improvements section in a little bit. Okay, so let's build that app that I was just showing you. If we could have number 7, please.
There you go.
But wish me luck. I don't need it, really. So here we are looking at a list. So this is a modern list that I have on my screen. You will see that actually this is the list that I've used for my demo at the beginning of the presentation. The item that we just created here for Ignite demo, yes, I deserve it, is right there at the bottom. It's the last item that was added. So what I want to show you is the Flow and Power Apps buttons here. We've made it, like I said, very, very easy to go from a list that has your schema into a Power App. How easy is it? You just click on Create an App, and you give it a name. Let's call this Ignite Demo Vacation. And I hit Create. And what happens is we open a new tab for you, and immediately it starts building that app. So what happened here is it took my context. I was signed in as myself. It signed me into Power Apps. It's all part of the Office 365 suite, so it's not necessarily sitting inside SharePoint, but it's just using it as part of the suite. And it has built me an app automatically before I could speak, I could finish talking.
It's pretty cool.
So I already have a functional app that lets me connect to that list, add items, delete items, view items in that list, sort that list, search for items in that list, and it's all working already. It's saved to Power Apps. It's available for me to start sharing it. So I have just mobile-enabled that list with a single click. All of my site context, all of my list context has been passed through, and then the app was built for me automatically. What I see here on the left is a browse screen that shows me the list items. We have also created a detail screen, which is similar to the DISP form, if you're familiar with how SharePoint display forms work. And then there's also an edit screen at the bottom that shows me the fields of my list, and I can start to customize these. But I already have this functional app. So you can see that we did not do a great job of ordering these fields in a meaningful way. That is something that we're working on. But let's start by customizing this form for adding a new vacation request.
It's a meaningful way. It's alphabetical by the name.
I suppose that's true.
But
I suppose that's true. It is meaningful to some people.
Yes.
So let's start by showing you how easy it is to customize this form, which is a top InfoPath scenario that was met using InfoPath previously. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just click on this item and drag this card up top because it's the title. I want that to be appearing up top. And then when I'm creating or editing a vacation request, the second field I see here is approval status. Let me make that a little bigger so it's easier to see. I don't want my users who are making vacation requests or editing vacation requests to change this field because that we want to set by through an approval process. So what I'm going to do is click this icon and it disappears. It's no longer on my form. Then I want my start date to appear before my end date. That would make sense. And you can see that it already has pulled some sample data for me from the list, so it's kind of easy to figure out what's what. And we have our notes here at the bottom. Just like that, my form is done. I could have seen some of my other fields here and then added them to my fields, but at the moment I'm happy with what this looks like. So let's move on to the details panel. I'm going to just go through similar moves here, bring it here. This time, for the details, I do want to show the approval status because it's in a read-only mode. And then let's move the start date here. Maybe you want to show when this item was created and when it was modified. So I just, with a couple of clicks, I've added those to my form, to my app. All right, let's go back here. So what to do here? What we want to maybe start with is, this doesn't quite look like my company's branding and my company's theme. I think Contoso is more of a, you know, a darker themed company. So what I'm going to do is switch over to the design tab, pull out one of these themes here. I think I used the forest when I was building the app that you saw. Just to be different, just to prove that this is a different app, let's use rose, which is also pretty cool. It's more like a burgundy, don't you think? It's not really rose. I don't know. Your own theme, the question was, can you add your own theme? Not at the moment, but that is one of the things that is coming.
You can restyle and recolor individual elements.
Right.
So if you are passionately committed to one particular shade of taupe, you can get the RGB code and use it to your heart's content.
Yeah, all of the controls already have some fill and foreground color parameters that you can manipulate, and actually will manipulate in conditional formatting that we will see in a second. That's exactly right. So what is on the left side of the screen that you see is the top one are the three screens that were automatically generated for me. So when I started this Power App from that list, it automatically generated this browse screen that shows me all the items in the list. And then when I click on the details panel, it shows me the details view, which is the second screen here, which was the one that I was editing. And then finally, there's the edit / new item screen that was also generated for me that I have modified to some degree here.
And if you want to add another screen for other data sources, put text information, images, that's all you can do directly here in the designer as well. Thanks.
The question was, are all your columns from your list coming here? The answer is yes. You can see that when I clicked here, you know, I had all my columns here. But the second part of the question was, can I add new columns from here and will they go back to my list? The answer is no. SharePoint is the master of that schema. If you add new columns to your list on SharePoint, all you got to do is come here and refresh this data source and it will pick up the new columns. And you can use those in your app and update your app using those columns.
So, folks,
let's go through the demo and then we'll do a Q&A in the end.
So we know that there's going to be a lot of questions. We've reserved time for Q&A. We also want to make sure we cover the flow piece of this. So
yes.
We want to push on.
All right. So let's see what else we can do with this. So one of the things that we want to do, this is now showing me all the items in the list, right? So that's not quite useful because for vacation requests, I want to make sure that the item that I'm seeing is only the stuff that I created, not everybody else's vacation requests. So what we want to do is, here's an expression. I was talking to you about the expressions that are Excel-like when you're editing an item. You will see it up top here where the items being shown here in this control, in the gallery control, are being brought in from the vacation request data source. And it's gotten a little complicated because there's a search box on it that is automatically hooked up. You don't have to have a search box, in which case you can just delete that part of the statement. But we'll keep it because we want a fully functioned app. And then it also sorts the data by a value. So let's change that sort first so that we're not sorting by ID, but instead we're sorting by the start date. We actually have an IntelliSense, so you can see all of the values from my list are coming here. And if I hit Enter here, then it will think about it for a second, and it will actually sort the list by start date. Let's also make sure that when we search over this field, we're not searching over the approval status field, but rather the title field. That shouldn't really change anything. But that will affect how your searches work. So let's also filter this So all I'm doing is just in Excel, like, you know, you see parentheses within parentheses, brackets. What I'm going to do is add another condition here that says filter the vacation requests data set and make sure that the author email address field is the same as the current user. So you will see that I've just typed in user, put some parentheses after it, and then let's pick that current user's email address. And that's it. Now my list is now only filtered by the items that match the current user instead of showing everything that was in that list. That was it for our data set. The expression at the moment may look a little terrifying, but after you use it a couple of times, honestly, I've started to make these changes on the fly very easily. Go ahead.
I just wanted to address the one question. I'm going to just jump over to a different Power App. I just wanted to illustrate this concept for you. So this is one I actually built in a different list in the last 30 seconds. This is brand new. Welcome to the world, baby Power App. If I wanted to add a new screen here, I can come here and say, add a new screen, and it's going to stick it there. I'm going to take it, drag it, pick it up. Well, basically, the process of this, I now have a new screen. If I make it first, just being a little finicky about getting where I want it to be, it should show. Let me just take this one, drag it down, 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 down. Okay, so this will be an additional screen of my app. I can stitch up additional data sources. Let's just say I want to insert a button on this one. Here's my super cool button. And my on select behavior, I can pick up from right here. I'm going to pick up an action. I say I just want to navigate. And navigate, what screen do I want to go to?
You're stealing my thunder. I was about to do that.
Oh, I thought you were going to flow,
it's fine,
man.
It's fine. Go for it.
Jump right over to the browse screen, and again, you can continue to add more screens and more buttons over time. I will return our control to our regularly scheduled presenter right now.
All right. All right. Thank you for that nice welcome break. So let's do this. So we're back here. We want to change a little bit how this looks, right? We want to add our logo. We want to add that picture that we saw. And we want to make that big new vacation request button really there and available. So I'm just going to move this down so it all scrolls down a little bit. And maybe move this search box down as well. Why not? I have this control here that will sort the list. Why don't I just move this down here, right? Because, you know, this is where my list is now. And also, sort a little text box here, bring it down here. You can see that I can bind this to some data that comes from another service, or I can just type in past requests. It's just a simple label. All right. So let's talk about, let's see a little more in detail what Chris was talking about. So this button here is the button to add a new item, right? That's provided for you, automatically hooked up so that when you click it, it will go to the edit item form. And the way it does it is if you go and check the onSelect command, so what I did is I just have this dropdown here on the left-hand side on the top that gives me all the different properties of that control that I can change. You can see that we can change the border color, border style, the thickness, show whether or not it's disabled, you know, all kinds of different things that you can set on it. The really interesting and useful property, though, is the unselect. So you can see that when this button is selected, or pressed is maybe a better name for it, what it does is it goes and creates a new form using edit form 1, which is the form in this edit screen. And then what it does is navigate. You can see how it concatenates the two commands. So first create the form, then navigate to that edit screen and show me that edit screen is what it does. So if I wanted to add a custom button, what I can do is I can just say insert button, pretty much what Chris was doing earlier. Let's place this here.
But cooler this time.
In in burgundy color instead. And what I want to do is actually, I want this button to go to that new form instead of the other button. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to this, just copy this, go back to the other button that I added, and paste. Just like that, I've hooked it up so that when I click that button, it will create a new form for me and then navigate to that screen. Yes, you can. Yes, you can chain, you know, as many as you want. I haven't tried chaining a lot more, but yes, you can have many multiple commands get executed one after the other, followed by a navigation. For example, the update items actually do this. They do a patch command for updating the data source, and then once that succeeds, they navigate, or they stay on the screen if it's not. Yes, exactly. Let's also change the text, shall we? Yeah, exactly. Name your buttons so you know what they are. Definitely. New vacation request. Need some more room here. All right. I don't think we need this guy. Get rid of that. Get rid of this. There's a separator there. Get rid of that thing. All right. How about some pictures? What I want to do is I want to use two customized pictures in my app so that they show up. Many people use these functions for creating a splash screen so that, you know, the app is very visually appealing to the person who's launching it. But I'm going to go very simple and add that little tiny picture there. What I need to do here is, actually, this is the backstage. It just looks like an office app. Let me save everything first, you know, because, you know, you want to make sure that everything is safe. And while I'm saving, let me tell you a little bit about, here's the place where you can change the color of the app, of that splash screen that you're going to see, and also maybe change the icon. So we use maybe, let's see, how about this, a smiley face?
Yeah.
That's good. So let's save that app. And I'm going to go into this media tab. So this is where I could add videos, images, and audio to my app and then start to use those in my app. So what I'm going to do is a simple browse. Did you notice this? All of this is running in your browser? I'm not even using a thick client here. I'm going to say this boat with palms image that I took recently on a vacation. And then, of course, no demo is complete without a Contoso logo, so let's add one of those as well. All right, I'm back, and I insert an image. And all I have to do is delete the sample image text and type in boat with palms. That's the name of the file, and then it just shows up. I can drag and drop, you know, resize it a little bit so that. How do I? The question is, how do I promote it to different levels? Do you mean ordering of the items, or? Oh, yes. So when you save the app, this is now being saved in the Power Apps service. So it's available for you on whatever device you go to the service and sign into. It's there for you ready. You can also save a local copy to your machine. But I haven't been doing that in the last few months. I just saved to the cloud, and it's there for me whenever I sign in into it from another machine. And the pictures that you're adding are also being saved with that Power App, so that it's available when the app launches on any user's device. The pictures would be available there as well. Doesn't matter. Multiple lists, multiple resources. Yes, it would be a quick question there. The question is, if we're planning to use SharePoint for storing images and showing those authenticated images from SharePoint, the answer is yes. It's not there yet. It is one of the things that we're actually going to be working very shortly on. All right, let's save the other questions. Keep going. Let's add that Contoso logo there as well. It's easy as typing in Contoso. And here it is. I apologize for my design sensibilities because I know this is not great, but you can see how easy it is and how easy it would be for a real designer to give you some feedback on the colors, on the placement of the items, etc. Okay, let me also quickly, seeing that we have about 20 minutes, as one of the last things I do, change what we're showing here. And I just gave myself a little more room here. You can see that in the gallery control, I can also change what's being showing up. It had picked the notes field here, but I'm going to switch that over to the title, give that a little more room so that it has room to breathe. And then here I'm showing the approval status. That's great. Let's keep that a little lower and give that a little more room as well. You can see that I have this blue text here. What I want to do is I want to repurpose this, so I'm going to drag this over here. Currently, it's showing me the title of the item. So what I'm going to just type in there is start. So it shows me the start date. I'm going to go ahead and add yet another text box. Why not? It went and picked the 4th of July, the title. Instead, I wanted to show the start date. Look at that. Now I can see the start date of my vacation request. And I have that label for it. So it's very easy to, you can see that, add different fields from your list and then show them in the gallery control, just as easy as showing them in your form control. The last thing I want to demo before we move on to the rest of the flow, the presentation, I should say, is the conditional formatting, because I know that's a very common business case that we use. All I have here is this item approval status, and that is showing the approved by manager, rejected versus pending approval information. So what I want to do is I want to write an if statement here, not here. I want the text to remain the same. What I want to change is the color of the text, right? So what I'm going to do is just scroll over to the color property here for this control, select it, and see that it is actually showing everything to be an RGBA value. What I want to do instead is if approval status equals approved by manager, let's show that as light green. Else, let's use aqua. And you can, instead of at the else, you can also continue to say if and write another condition and then have a number of different conditions satisfied here. But in the interest of time, I'll just complete it by typing this. And you can see my approved by manager items are now green. And the pending approval, the pending items are actually in this bluish color. So it was very easy to just change that that formatting based on the value of the item that I'm showing, so that it's easy for your end users to realize that something is green or something is red, and then it will give them a visual cue about what to do in your app. The manager approval will be done in a flow. So you could build a flow integration into this app, but we will go to the flow for that. So now that I have my app working, just to prove that everything is working, let me just run it. Look, it's a little uglier than the one that I had spent slightly more time on building, but it's pretty close. What do you think? Note that I didn't change many things, like these buttons. You know, I click on them, and then it shows me automatically the forms that I have customized. And when I hit new vacation request, it gets me those fields. It would have been easy to just add that other extra field here, but in the interest of time, I'll skip that. If you're interested, come see me after, and then I will show you how to add that custom Azure function that was returning me that number of days of vacation that this user has as well. All right. So we have that app up and running, and then now I can make that available to the rest of my company, rest of the groups that I'm interested in working with. Okay, so this was the app. Let's talk a little bit about the flow integration. So what we wanted to do, if you remember, was that watch this app using a flow and then make sure that we were having an approval request get sent by the flow to the person's manager. So we tried to make it very, very easy to go and create a flow using a Power App. So we have built this Create Flow button right into the modern lists. So when you push this button, your users will have instantly an idea of, you know, what flow is and what you can do with this. You can send a customized mail when a new SharePoint list item is added, and a couple of other things that give them an idea of, you know, how they can use flows. What I really want to do here is to complete a customized action when I create this flow. So when I click, just like with Power Apps, it will open a new tab for me and show me the different accounts that I have enabled. Chris is using a gateway connection, so I'll just switch back to my online connection in the interest of this demo. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. You can see that we started with this flow where we are watching this site. The site that we were on and the list that we were on has automatically been brought in here. I've signed in as that user into the flow service. And I'm basically have this trigger automatically created for me. I can add a new step where I can look up someone's manager. There's this helpful get manager command that I can add. And then it asks me for an input. Whose manager are we looking for? Why? We're looking for the manager of the person who submitted that request. So when I click in here, I can see all the different values that are available for me from that item that was created. So I can take that value, plug it into the next step, and then keep going with my flow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the email address of the person who created that vacation request. So as the output of this step, I will have that person's manager. Let's add another action. We would like to send an approval mail. Here's that action for us, powered by Office 365 Outlook. Who do we want to address this to? Now you can see that before, in the second step, we were only seeing the outputs from the first step. Now we can see the outputs from the previous two steps. So the output of the get manager action is this email. So I can just add that to the output here and change the subject line to use, you know, approval request for created by display name so that that person's name is there. And then you can customize the body of the email as well. And then let's see what a condition might look like. Now I want to look at the approval mail's selected option, so whether the user clicked on approve or reject. And then if it's approve, what I want to do, if yes, is go ahead and update that SharePoint item. Here's that item available for me. You can see that I could have gone and updated a Visual Studio Team Services item or any other connector. But in this scenario, I'm going to go back to that request that we have added and update the item for that SharePoint list. And all I have to do is grab my site name here. How are we running on time?
We're running long.
All right. I will quickly see that all of the fields from my list are now here, so I can update them. And I can grab the item ID from that very first step. So the very first item that got created, I know the ID, so I can go back and update it. And then I can type in the title of the item and type in the approval status to say approved by manager. And then when I create that flow, that's the flow that will be running and updating those items and getting creating those things. So that's, in a nutshell, the Power App side and the flow side of building that app that you just saw. A flow app, can a flow app call a function app? I believe so. You can make a REST call. You can make a REST call, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, let's do it. Let's go back to the doc.
Okay. So you want to walk through the...
I think you guys all understand what was going on, so
yep.
Quickly click through this, and then let's go to the next step.
So I know there were some questions about what this means for hybrid. Being able to stitch up hybrid makes use of the on-premises data gateway, which we're going to walk through in a quick demo here momentarily. So we've had gateway services as part of Power BI for a while. Power BI's gateway had to push data one way, from on-premises to the cloud. What we've essentially done is expanded it to make it a two-way gateway so that cloud services can reach back down through the gateway to establish a connection to something that's on-premises. You are going to be able to manage connections directly on the gateway. If you were installing it, it installs over the Power BI gateway. We'll upgrade it in place. You sign in on the gateway machine to register it into the Power App service. Once it's registered, then you can use it to build connections. So Power Apps and Flow live in the cloud. The execution of the flow is being orchestrated in the cloud. The definition of the application and the process lives in the cloud. It reaches through the gateway to be able to access on-premises data sources like SharePoint and like SQL. And once it's there, those data sources can participate just like everything else across the Power Apps universe. So that said, let me jump over into my environment here. And to do this, I have to start at the powerapps.com page. If I sign into the same tenant, I get to the management interface. And you can see some of the things that are out there right now. I just briefly wanted to point you toward. Here's the app that Karem just built.
Woo!
If I want to take a look at the details of it, I can see what's been there. Is it linked to any flows? How is it shared? So right now it's currently shared to the whole organization. If I wanted to share it to a specific user, I could put them in here, add their address and move forward. I can also see the history of the versions of this application as it's been saved. So if I made a bad version and wanted to roll back to a prior version, that's all available to me here. The key part of being able to set up the gateway is over here on the left. If I go down and look at Manage Gateways, I can see gateways that have previously been set up. If I want to create a new gateway, there is an oddly named switch for that called New Gateway. And if I follow that, it's going to bring me to explain all the downloads that are available to me, the mobile player, the studio for Windows, and the on-premises data gateway. That's where you go to get the latest and greatest. You download it, you install it on a member server that is going to act to set up all that information for you. Once that is done, you can see the kinds of connections that are out there. And as I mentioned before, if I want to create a new connection, these are all the kinds of things that I can connect out to. So I can go to Dropbox and Dynamics and Facebook and Google Sources and MailChimp and so on and so forth. This is a SharePoint section. So let's say we're going to create a new connection to SharePoint. When I say that, you can see it understands how to connect directly through cloud services or connect using an on-premises data gateway. And once I say I've picked the gateway, it's going to ask me which one of my registered gateways do I want to use. And it's going to ask me for the username and password that I want to enter. And if I hadn't already installed one, I have a link to be able to install a new gateway right there. We are short on time, so I'm not going to go through a deeper dive on that. I want to return us back into our presentation. So a couple of things that are important to understand about how Power Apps and Flow are coming into the Office realm. Flow itself is going to be made available free of charge. There is a free Flow service with a limited number of executions and a limited number of connections out to things like Facebook and Twitter and so on and so forth. Flow Free does not connect through on-premises. But for this audience, the versions of Flow for Office 365 as well as Power Apps for Office 365 are coming in to most Office 365 commercial tenancies. You'll have the ability to run a good number of flows. We think the number at GA is going to be something like 2,000 runs per month per user shared across the tenant. Being able to connect to the standard services as well as SQL, SharePoint, Exchange on-premises and in the cloud. If you need more connections and if you need more capacity, those are also available through additional connections that are available directly from the Power Apps and Flow product lines. So that is how they are coming in to Office 365. So if you're an E1, E3, E5, Plan 1, Plan 2, there's a number of plans. The full documentation's on the site. I'm not a licensing specialist, but we want this to be a tool to help everyone be successful. And there's a lot more that's coming in the future.
Yeah, so just briefly talking about some of those commitments and future improvements that we want to tackle over the coming months is going to be attached support for all of the full data types in SharePoint, like images, attachments, multi-value fields. The flow integration for document libraries and OneDrive for Business is one thing that we're working on and we are very excited about. We think it will have huge implications for the ECM and document management area. We will also work on making sure that you can kick off a selected flow for a selected item in your document libraries or lists. That is also in the works. And then, of course, the embedding of Power Apps in SharePoint and using Power Apps to create customized forms are the things that we have on our roadmap over the next few months and the coming year. With that, I can, I think, quickly show you a sneak peek of, you know, the embedded Power Apps in SharePoint UI.
We'll talk about that in a second.
So you can see that I am on the very same list, and what I've done is there's a view that was added to my list automatically when I created that Power App earlier. And when I click open, without leaving the SharePoint UI, I can launch that app and show that in a window. Obviously, a responsive app would fill more of the window, but this is just the app that I had created earlier. And this is not the final design, but it's just a proof of concept that we have created to make sure that this is the level of the integration that we're thinking about. So your users can execute these things without leaving SharePoint necessarily, so that it is baked into the experience of SharePoint.
Great.
All right.
So in terms of where we are in the roadmap, and I'll speak slowly because many of you are going to want snapshots of this, I know. We are right now in preview mode on Power Apps and Flows. We have been for a good number of months. We are also in flight with rolling out modern lists through first release and then through production for people available in Office 365. As we look forward beyond Ignite, as we get into fourth quarter and beyond, at some point soon, we're not sharing the date today, but Power Apps and Flow will move to general availability as part of Office 365. And around that same time, we'll be much closer to being able to project dates on some of the capabilities that we've been talking about extending new field types through the connector, document library support, being able to do on-demand execution of a flow. If you've built a flow for a particular purpose, for an approval, and I say this document is ready to go through this approval cycle now, you're going to be able to do that, as well as the embed scenarios that we've walked you through here. When we look forward, I like to quote the CEO of General Electric, a company that recently moved to my hometown in Boston, Massachusetts. Shout to people out who are from New England. Where are you? Okay. And his belief is that in the future, every industrial company will become a software company. And one of the things I encourage you to think about, or your own clients and customers to think about, is participating in this exchange. And if you're, for example, if you run a delicatessen, this may not seem very relevant to you, but if you can build a service that allows someone to request a sandwich online by starting a flow, and you register that service, that gives you an ability to tap into a much broader automation market. So AppSource is the vehicle that we've made available for being able to publish finished applications and connections to be able to participate in all of these things between Power Apps, Flow, Power BI, and that great ecosystem of SharePoint and Office developers that we love to come out to Ignite to talk to you about. So just to kind of recap, when we talked about where we were in InfoPath and SharePoint Designer, still there, still supported, 10 more years, plenty of time to adapt to some of the new models. Microsoft Forms, solution for the education market for forms and quizzes. We hope you really like the stuff that we've shown you about Power Apps and Flow. Again, lots of sessions, many of them already recorded and delivered. Karim and I are going to be going down to the theater again in a few minutes just to walk through some of the InfoPath story. That's at 405 at Building A Theater over there. And if we can't get a question covered here, we'll be happy to see you there. Yay, Fast Track. Yay, Tech Community.
Yay, Evaluations.
Yay, us. Yay, us. So yes. If you love this session, please give us fives.
It's not fives anymore.
Oh, wow.
It's very good.
Very good.
Very good for the...
That said, We have a little bit of time for questions. Thank you very much. Can we go to the mic because we're still recording?
Hello.
Question back here.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Please.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, when you published the app, it went to the Power App URL, right? You have a service where you publish it to. How do you then publish it from that service to the mobile devices that your employees are carrying?
Oh, it's... So there's a way for the Power Apps to be visible to everybody in your organization. In fact, in the app that I was creating, that was on by default. So it actually was available for my employees immediately after I created it. All they got to do is go and browse a catalog of apps in Power Apps in the client, and then you would be able to pick up the new app. Or somebody could just share it with you, send you a link to that app. And that's available in the web.powerapps.com portal. You can just grab the URL for it and send it along to someone else. And if they have permission to run the app, they will be able to.
So their devices would need to be managed through some kind of a
No,
service?
All they need is the Power Apps application that you can download from the App Store.
Power Apps application.
And in that experience, so it's an application for iOS, Android. Inside of that, when you see the full list of apps, you can then pin those apps to the homepage, so it's a direct launch experience. You don't have to go through the player to get to it each time.
Right. Gotcha.
And question over here.
When a Power App and a flow is built in the context of a list on a site, are there constraints in place that would keep us from shooting ourselves in the foot, like by, say, deleting a column in the list that's referenced by the app?
That's a great question. Not at the moment. So what happens is it doesn't. We will be building some safeguards around that. At the moment, it doesn't. It
we
doesn't
just need
exist,
to be careful
but
in the meantime.
Needs to be careful.
Great stuff. Great presentation.
Thanks.
Alan.
Thank you very much.
Let's go over here.
From an Office 365 admin perspective, when this goes GA, will there be a separate license SKU that we either need to enable or disable, and will it appear in the app launcher?
You will have a control, so it won't be a separate license SKU. If you're on E3, you're going to have that capability. You will be able to restrict access to it through user administration and through what you choose to make available through the hybrid app launcher tiles. That's where that is.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
My question is currently in InfoPass, can have a lot of features, a lot of rules, multiple data source. Commonly we use cascading drop downs or repeatable sections. Are these all going to be supported for by the Power Apps in the future?
So the product team, I'm on the SharePoint side, but the Power Apps guys and I, we talk on a daily basis and we meet on a daily basis. They are closely looking at InfoPath capabilities and what capabilities they need to bring forward. What we are asking our customers actually, and we're having a lot of these meetings here this week, is tell us the most important features for them using mechanisms like the Power Apps forums, user voice, and on one-on-one face-to-face meetings here. We've been soliciting for this feedback about what features of InfoPath to carry forward, and those are definitely some of the things that you mentioned are the ones that are being considered
and,
going forward.
And to be fair, some of the things you mentioned multiple data sources, that's available in product right now.
Yeah, multiple data sources.
We only have 75 minutes, but absolutely, if you have you can build lots of data sources into your Power App.
That is available today.
So it's a totally, you can cover, the goal is to totally replace InfoPath with the Power Apps.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
We have time for one more question on the recording, and then we'll stick around and deal with some of the questions down here or downstairs.
Okay, so quick question. You may have covered this. So what happens in a scenario where I bind a Power App to a data source, right? Let's say it's a list-based data source, right? And somebody, one of my users, goes in and tweaks that data source, that list. What happens to my Power
it's
App?
It's very similar to the question that gentleman asked earlier.
Does it blow up
today,
at this point?
Your app will break.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we should take some precautions for preventing that.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, one vote for cascading dropdowns. Implement
All right.
that, please.
All right.
Yes, okay.
James, you heard that? Cascading dropdowns.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you very much, folks. We'll stick around to deal with some of the questions here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.